The Gospel of Luke was written later in the first century. The author was writing what you would call a theological history. He wasn't worried about the dates and the chronology, but the flow of the theology, the flow of the gospel. While other gospels were written to the mostly Hebrew people, Luke wrote to first and second generation Christians who were primarily Gentiles. His task then was to teach the traditions of the Hebrews as it related to the Messiah or the Christ. His goal was to relate to the Hebrew Christians' faith, to those forming their own faith within their own traditions. In today's lesson, he recounts the Last Supper. It was a usual meal, maybe a Seder. His best friends were there, and it was at this meal in which Jesus laid out the days to follow. He offered symbols of his body and his blood, and he asked them to remember him. To remember him. So I read to you from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another, "Which of them could it be who would do this?" A dispute arose amongst them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I among you as the one who serves." This is the word of the Lord. All of us want to be remembered. Whether we admit it or not, we're going to remember y'all. That's a part of who we are. We want to be recognized. We want to be accepted. And we may go to great lengths to assure that our memory lives on. So not unusual to realize that others know how to use that natural human desire. I suspect many of you are like Beth and I, that every week in the mail receive another request for some money. And when we do, we give it. Later on, something comes out with a list of givers, usually with the amount that fits into a category. Now, for example, Beth and I receive requests for donations and gifts from religious organizations, certainly, in various respectable organizations. some that we've actually grown up over the years being a part of. And in each case, miraculously, our names appear on a list of donors. Now, y'all know what the lists are, I'm sure. The first one is the grand givers. The second is the good givers. Then there's the okay givers. And the last, where we usually find our name, is in they also gave. Not too long ago, I heard myself saying to Beth, could we give a little bit more so they could move up one category? I'd like to be remembered as other than they also gave. To want to be remembered is natural. Some build great monuments for themselves with their name for everyone to see. I mean, the one we see mostly now is a picture of a great building that says the Trump Plaza. But not so unlike that big sign is one on our front door that says the Archibalds. We want to be remembered. We want people to know who we are. Some write their own eulogies in advance. Others plan epitaphs to be placed on their permanent markers. We want records of our achievement to be remembered because we just don't want our memories to fade into nothingness. One of my frustrations I love to share is that the people who don't remember who I am. We had some neighbors who we had met for at least four occasions. Each time was for the first time as far as they were concerned. And finally, on the fifth occasion, I said, yes, we have met you four more times before, but it's always good to meet you again. Now, this really appalled Beth, who was always polite. I got in trouble, but you know what? They remembered me from then on. We want to be remembered and dislike being forgotten, don't we? It's part of our nature. Now, I believe that Jesus the Christ wanted to be remembered, and Luke, the author of the scripture for this morning, wanted the first century emerging church to be certain to remember Jesus. Luke painted a portrait in words in which Jesus was eating with his friends in a usual meal. He told them about the future when he would face his death. And from that death, hope for life would follow. He took some bread and he broke it. And when he gave it to them, he asked to be remembered. He took a cup of wine to share with his friends and said that this was a symbol of his blood that would be sacrificed for them. Remember me, he asked. These symbols are the essence of my spirit. Each time you eat, please remember me. Well, how could they ever forget? And how could we forget? Well, they did, almost immediately. And sometimes we do very quickly. Luke reports that when the dramatic meal had reached its conclusion, the disciples began to argue with one another which of them would be the greatest. After Jesus goes on and we're left in charge, which one of us is going to be remembered as the greatest? Who would it be on the list of the best givers with their name on the temple and their faces etched in memory for all time? Now, I admit to you, perhaps like me, Some of you struggle with understanding the miracles, understanding the sacrifice. I wonder, in my study at the teachings of Jesus and of his faithful, but I have no problem identifying with the person Jesus who that night wanted to be remembered. And eventually his disciples did. They built on his life and his teachings as we do. They remembered him and we remember him. You know you do because you're here. You're here, aren't you? You could be a lot of places, but you're not, because you remember Jesus. We don't forget him. Now we get caught up in our own monuments and our own images. We want our memories to live eternally. We even compete to be remembered as the greatest, in our own fashion, of course. But today, in this meal, we remember Jesus. Now, how we will remember him tomorrow or even later on today at the dinner to follow, I don't know. It's possible that when we leave the sanctuary and walk away from the presence of this table, that we will forget him. That too is human nature. Of course we will. But that's not what Jesus asked of his disciples. He asked them to remember him. And there's a difference. For a while, we all forget. For a while, we all move on. And yet we return, for we all have the blessing to remember again at this table with each other. And when we remember, we are capable of building on the memories and creating a new hope and a new promise. And our memories are linked to the past and the foundations for the future. As we sit at this table today, as certain as this church has been here to serve this community, that you have loved and cared for and been cared for by pastors in the past, and that you have said goodbye, as Jesus said goodbye, suffering, if you will, to pastors and friends and leaders and family. When we remember Jesus, we know that we are never forgotten, for we are the church. This week, or even just today, when we are with our friends, maybe at the dinner this afternoon, our family, perhaps eating with one another, a less symbolic meal, certainly, remember Jesus. When you go to work at the office or school or at the break, or in my case, watching CNN all day long, or while planning next week's activities with family and friends, just for a moment, remember Jesus. And when you do, I'm pretty sure you will know deep inside that God is remembering you. And that is all your efforts, and that all you have accomplished in your faith is remarkable and memorable. That what this church has been and what this church will be is remarkable and memorable. And that even those sometimes failures or slip-ups that we sometimes call sin, friends, those are forgotten. That's the good news. For when we remember Jesus at this meal or at any time, our sins are forgotten, forgiven, gone. Friends, this church is memorable. This morning, let us continue to remember Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Almighty and most gracious God, hear these our prayers that we have offered to you in the quiet of our thoughts. There are some prayers that we are not willing to consider aloud or in silence. We may be ashamed, hiding, or afraid to come even to you in prayer. But know us, O God, and when we are unable or unwilling to face ourselves, hear even then. Know our most private and unmasked petitions. God, we live in a time of noise and confusion. Our cell phones can determine our thoughts. We are inundated with the news media proclaiming the worst of our nation and of our nation. We are toying by choices that we would not want to make and demands that intimidate our hopes and our dreams. You know, God, what we want is a quiet time to enjoy family and friend, places to work in peace and accomplish our goals. We proclaim a nation that has made us proud to be American in a world where creativity and hope abound. And so we pray for guidance and direction in our lives and the relationships so close to us. We pray for love in our existence. We pray for peace and justice in our nation, in leaders who can follow, who can lead, who can move us with pride and expectation. We pray for a world of peace, not in division and destructive hate. We pray, O God, for this church in her pilgrimage, for those members who have sustained the body of Christ here. We pray for those members of our choir who are moving on. They have led us in worship. Now lead them in their life to come. God, we would love to remember Jesus, not only at this blessed meal, but at regular times with those with which we share our lives. We ask of your presence in our lives, our nation's direction, our diverse world. Oh God, help us to remember him. And when we forget, remind us that we are loved, and in his name we find grace and we find hope. Amen.